morning. Today is Wednesday, July the 15th, 200th day of the year. Joining us this morning, Humboldt County Supervisor Ryan Sundberg. You're impressed that I could count to 200, huh?
Yeah. What is the day that you work till when taxes finally, when you finally pay up your taxes and you start making money?
What state?
California.
I think it's somewhere early May.
Early May?
Yeah.
Okay, so we're not there yet. We'll see if you can count that high.
Yeah. Oh, boy. Before we get the real frivolity going, our quote this morning comes from John Florio, an English writer who died in 1625. So he's been kind of...
Before my time.
And I don't think they're going to dig up his grave and replace him somewhere else or reinter him. The goofiest thing in the world. Quote, "Who hath not served cannot command."
Very true.
Yeah. So were you behind that whole rename Fort Bragg thing last week? Because he was in the Civil War on the Confederate side?
No.
No.
No, I was not.
I don't know. Some of that stuff just seems to be, we're worried about that instead of terrorism. Yeah. It just seems a little goofed up with the priorities, but you know, what do I know, right?
Don't know.
Yeah, I won't even ask you the Redskin question, though, because I'm sure there's no right answer for you.
You can ask me. I don't care.
No. That'd be begging the obvious.
Oh, it doesn't bother me if you want to know the answer.
Really?
Mm-hmm.
What a shocker.
So.
Well, maybe that's because you have the Redskin t-shirt on this morning.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, it's funny. You go out some of the reservations and there's all kinds of people with Redskin gear on. And I don't know. It just doesn't. I wasn't raised to be that hypersensitive. So.
Well, maybe. Mm-hmm. All kinds of possibles.
But. I think there's some people out there that look for things to be offended about.
Yeah, I think they make it their career, don't they?
Yeah, I think there's a few people that make a lot of money on that. Maybe I'm in the wrong business.
The wrong business?
Here. Yeah.
Yeah, yeah, huh? Depends on who you talk to.
Yeah, I'm sure there's some people that really agree with that.
Yeah. They'll even sign the petition.
Yeah. You need any help packing?
Yeah. what's the coolest thing that's out there for you right now?
The coolest thing.
Yeah, what are you anxious for? What's the next thing that's got your attention? Not marijuana related.
Oh, okay. Well, that just took out. No. The next big thing, it's got to be, you know, having this mapping process through the general plan wrapping up. And that is, the very last thing that our board has to do. And
you mean it'll be all done, right?
Well, the staff will have to take all of our decisions and update the environmental impact report, and then we'll have to make a final decision. But, you know, we're on the very, very end of the home stretch here.
That means.
Well, I think some people are freaking out because they're going, what are we going to do after this?
What are we going to talk about after this?
Yeah. So
we'll have to fall back and consider. KINS, News and Information Time, it's 8:19.
You've never heard us before because we're something brand new. It's called Destination Radio. If you live in Ferndale or Gold Beach, Blue Lake or Klamath, Brookings or Eureka, you'll be looking for someplace different to take the family, something special to do next weekend. The best destinations for day trips and overnights, for hiking or biking, for beachcombing or birdwatching, and you'll turn to us for ideas because you're the reason we're here, to help you find your close-to-home destination. Stay, play, and relax with us. Destination Radio.
Good morning, KINS, News and Information Time. It's 8:24. We're back to Talk Shop this morning with Ryan Sundberg. Ryan, last week there was an opportunity for, and I guess there's always opportunities, but Green Diamond seems to be either divesting of property or giving away some of the small little elements that are just kind of out of the main focus. the one in Trinidad, Rex's Park, over behind us here in the Myrtletown area. Is there a grand scheme? Have you been talked to? I mean, are they trying to consolidate mm-hmm. some of their stuff, or are they just kind of feeling moments of community here?
They talked to me, it had to be a few years ago. It was somewhere around a few years ago and they said that they were coming up with a strategic plan on what they wanted their timberlands to look like and pick out, whatever grew the best timber and really focus on that. And
so streamlining it a little bit.
Well, just having a plan on what their timberlands would look like in the next 20 years and getting these little pieces out that don't really grow timber, just kind of hodgepodge here and there is just kind of clean up their land portfolio. And last Monday, they had a really nice ceremony between Green Diamond and the Trinidad Land Trust, where just south of the Merriman Beach House and Little River, so that piece in between there, they sold that piece to the Land Trust, the Trinidad Land Trust, and the plan for that area is hook in the Hammond Trail to Scenic Drive and get from where Merriman's Beach House is. You just go straight, get off of the freeway, and take a little trail down to where Clam Beach is. And
anything about the escalator involved in the plan?
It is, it is, to be honest, it is. It will be a little bit of a slope there, but it won't be as steep as the one where the Vista Point is, right past Mad or Clam Beach.
Where it kind of dives down.
Yeah, or? That one is gravel and pretty steep.
Are there plans for that to be blacktopped?
Yeah. So everything, just like everything, it depends on money. But
good. Well, at least there's no coastal permits required then.
Oh,
or is that part of the money?
Yeah.
Well, you said Stagecoach.
And is that no, not Stagecoach. Well, Scenic Drive.
Okay, but eventually it'll tie into
the Stagecoach
if somebody decides to. What is the county's responsibility of maintaining those roads? I had heard before you weren't elected that you like to play with backhoes and tractors out there. And when there's a little slide, you'd be out there vroom vrooming and pushing things around and, making it passable. I don't think there's no more stability today than what there has been in the past. Does the county have the responsibility to maintain that road?
Those are both, they're county-maintained roads. And, they're out there all the time because that road is really, really
active.
Falling. Yeah, actively falling. And so, it's part of its gravel, it goes down to one lane every once in a while and, they do their best to keep it up and, it's...
So that's kind of the long-term plan, just keep throwing gravel on it and smush it out every once in a while and that's what is affordable.
Yeah, and one of the things that we've been talking about with, you've probably heard the Trinidad Rancheria's plan to do an interchange where the rancheria is off of the freeway, and so there's no
stoplights though, right?
No, it would just be a pure interchange.
Four-way stop, man.
Yeah. So, and part of that plan, where we started talking was if we could do some kind of frontage road that fronted the freeway, where you could get to Baker Ranch and some of these other houses. Well,
kind of
back
like off
there.
Off the West Haven exit. Kind of run that?
Yeah, it'd be on the west side of the freeway though,
right.
So it'd be get off at Trinidad Rancheria, so if Scenic Drive ended up falling into the ocean, it eventually will, at least you'd still be able to get to all those houses back there. And so that's one of the ideas that are being thrown around.
That's a massive project though. Would Caltrans be kicking in and helping out?
I don't know where the funding would all come from, since it's a tribal lands. I would assume a lot more federal dollars would be involved.
Do you have to go through the permits and all that rigmarole that would normally occur?
Yeah, one of the tough parts that is really slowing it down is they have to have an exception because you have to have a certain amount of space in between interchanges, and so putting one where the Rancheria is would be a shorter distance than their standard, and so we have to get an exception to be able to do that. And so that's, they're meeting and trying to overcome that now. And then our public works is in these they put together a stakeholder group, and we're meeting with Caltrans every month to keep it moving forward. And you know, the frontage idea came up because we're like, the scenic drive is going to fall into the ocean one day, you know, or they, you know, or would be nice is it could just, you know, once it falls far enough, you could just turn it into a trail, you know, and then have the frontage road be where the cars go.
Oh, let families walk on it. You're saying it still would be close, it just wouldn't be as wide.
It's going to be one lane eventually, you know, and then it'd be a lot easier to maintain a trail on that road than it would be for two cars to pass each other.
This must have been a long week for you.
It's been a long week.
A couple days in and you're already lost your humor, man.
Gee, thanks.
Yeah. Well, I'll do my best to see if I can keep prodding you and get it back. KINS, News and Information Time. It's 8:30. We'll be back with more from Ryan Sundberg.
We do as a community to make Humboldt a better place to work and live? The answer is to make sure our kids are literate, able to plan financially, move forward in their education so they are better prepared to enter our workforce, and become contributing and productive members in our society, community, and economy. How do we do it? Through the Decade of Difference Initiative. Visit decadeofdifference.org and find out how you, as a parent, student, or business owner, can help. It's the Decade of Difference. Be part of it.
Good morning, KINS, News and Information Time. It's 8:35. We're back talking shop with Ryan Sundberg. Ryan, one of the challenges I think that's out there is this whole concept of transportation or access. And we had it with Confusion Hill.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. And I don't know, I forget how much the monstrosity cost, those bridges that are just... I keep waiting for an earthquake.
I found out at our... Because I'm on the stakeholder group for the Last Chance Grade. That's the highest bridge in California, or the tallest bridge.
Well, in the Patterson, or no, not Patterson. The one south of Pistol River is the tallest one in Oregon. So I guess if you like tall bridges, this is a place to be.
Yeah. it is a long ways down. You ever look over the side of that thing?
No. Sure, I want to get across that thing as quick as I can.
Yeah, me too.
I don't know if it's age, eyesight. Related, obviously, or whatever, but the last little bit, took a drive around Crater Lake. I don't know, have you guys been up there?
Mm-hmm.
The little windy road, okay, and you know the beast, right?
You and your truck?
Vertigo. After that, it's like, you know, I just don't want to get too close to any edges anymore because the temptation or the draw is a little too much. So, yeah, I'm going to stop on that bridge. No.
Yeah,
I'll probably be 100 yards on either side. Now, you mentioned...
Here goes Brian driving down the middle of the road again.
Hey, Shipley told me the wisest thing, if you're running at night or if they're deer or stuff, straddle. Put the speed bumps, you know, the bump, 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 bump,
uh-huh.
Put that between your rigs so that you're, as long as it's a two-laner, you know, two lanes each direction, so that you give yourself ample opportunity to react one way or the other, but you're not... all of a sudden going way, way hard right or way hard to the left.
My rule is go straight. If it gets in your way, it gets in your way.
Oh, yeah. You know, lock your elbows.
Yeah.
But nonetheless.
Because when I sold insurance, that was every single time was when we got in a wreck. But, well, I missed the deer, but I hit the whatever. So it's like
the redwood wouldn't move.
Yeah.
No kidding. Oh, boy.
A lot less likely to be injured if you just go straight.
Yeah, go through it. Yeah.
Well, hopefully, and most of the time, those things are quick enough
They survive.
You don't steer into it. It can move.
Yeah. Chipmunks, different story. They seem to attract to rubber. Last Chance Grade is an interesting dynamic. As we were talking about Scenic and Stagecoach, both which are moving. 299 is moving. Okay. What a shocker.
Humboldt County is moving.
Yeah, you build it on blue goo, things kind of go and mush.
Yeah.
Same thing with Last Chance Grade. You know, the old, the historic, yeah, okay, we all get that. Are there choices, are there options that are there for different routes? I've heard a couple of different ones. If you set aside the dollar sign for a moment, does the timeline allow some of these options to be valid?
The short answer is yes. I mean, I think you go back a little bit and say, what does Last Chance Grade mean for Humboldt County and Del Norte County? It probably means a little bit more for Del Norte County than Humboldt, but it is economically disastrous for Del Norte County for that road to slip out and have, you know, a massive delay.
And for tourism here too. I mean, if you had to take a right hand turn or an eastern turn at 299,
it would dramatically
everybody north
affect,
of that now yeah. doesn't get any of the tourist activity.
Yeah, it would. I mean, you would kill Oreck for sure, Klamath
again
for sure.
There's nothing left there.
Yeah, you would kill Trinidad.
McKinleyville.
Yeah, it's just what I was trying to say. I'm not saying it wouldn't be dramatic for Humboldt County, but people driving down I-5 and instead of going through Crescent City, all that traffic is going to stay on I-5 and just bypass. You know, some of it may still come down 299 into Humboldt County portion of it, but yeah, it would be dramatic for Humboldt County, and it would be a death blow for Crescent City for sure.
Yeah, you'd have the loop of 199, and that would be it, and they probably wouldn't even touch into Crescent City.
Yeah, because I mean, the only way to get there. Or especially to Klamath or Oreck, I mean, you'd have to go in and then
literally
all the way
end
up
of the road.
And the scary part is there is no quick alternative to get around that slide if it did slip out. I mean,
are there any deal with log roads?
See, that's one of the things. There's a state park road that goes in, and then there's a Green Diamond Road, and they're separated by a few hundred feet.
Is that like Wilson Creek?
It's a little past Wilson Creek, yeah.
Okay, so
it's more on top of the hill is where they kind of meet up, is from my understanding. And the problem is the grades are too steep for traffic to be able to negotiate it. And so it could get reopened for emergency vehicles, things like that, but there's no way that normal traffic would be able, even one lane, be able to drive that without
the loaded Safeway truck. It couldn't make it.
Well, even just normal cars and trucks.
Really?
It's too steep for that. It's pretty steep. So, with no viable alternative quick fix, you know, they presented I'm on the stakeholder group that Congressman Huffman set up. There's about 25 of us on there that range from environmentalists to realtors, politicians, and kind of everything in between. Renner is on there. There's a dairyman that's on there that ships milk back and forth. You know, so they have a really good mix of people on the committee, and the options are very interesting because the shortest, the least amount of time, and the least expensive option is just a little jog around that 1 mile. Area around Last Chance Grade.
So you bring it back into Damnation Creek or through Mill Creek?
It's just right before the main slide starts. The slide's about a mile long.
Oh, so you get up on top.
You just kind of go right around it, yeah, on the back side of the mountain and then
it's sliding from the beach on up the hill.
Yeah, but you can get on the back side and it's not sliding anymore. They've got all the geology reports to show exactly where the slide starts, where it ends, where it'll end up.
So more of a detour then.
It's just a little jog around. So that cheapest, fastest, shortest alternative goes right through the old growth state parks massive, massive redwood trees. You know,
the
least
palatable then also.
Yeah, so it's, I mean, and it's like it's part of the UN heritage something or other. So, I mean, it just, pretty much everybody at that meeting agreed that that wasn't a very good alternative.
It'd be a yeah, but.
Yeah, I mean, it just, yeah.
Why would it be any different? I mean, yeah. It's, KINS News and Information Time. It is 8:43. We'll be back with more from Ryan Sundberg and other options for Last Chance Grade.
What's the shopping show all about?
If you haven't listened to the show before, it's kind of tough to describe.
I guess the easiest first step is to simply go to the Shopping Show website.
TheShoppingShow.net.
And join us this Saturday for the next Shopping Show.
On KINS 106.3 FM.
KURY FM 95.3 and 101.3 in the Illinois Valley.
And KEKA 101.5 and 100.9 in Eureka. Good morning, KINS News and Information Time. It's 8:47. We're back to Talk Shop this morning with Ryan Sundberg. Ryan, as you look at some of the different challenges that are out there with Last Chance Grade, if the easiest one isn't the palatable one, is the most expensive the most palatable one?
The most expensive one does the least amount of environmental damage, but it also it's a route that goes all the way around state parks. Basically, and then it's
on the back
very,
side of
very
it,
long. Yeah, it would take an extremely long time to construct. To you know, and so what? There's ideas from tunneling to there's a couple options for tunneling, and then there is about six options for different routes. You know, starting in different places and ending in different places, and going around. The big redwood trees going into mature forest, you know, where it's second growth. And so with all these different options, they all have different prices and then different time lengths. And so I think what's going to happen is, you know, we're going to come to some agreement on, you know, some kind of balance between, you know, price, time and all that. But I think what's becoming clear we've had four meetings so far that are all day meetings up in Crescent City. And what's becoming clear is that that road is not going to stay in its current position for the next 20 years. The amount of time that a regular project like this takes to go through environmental and construction is 20 to 25 years.
Well, does Green Diamond have any property up there?
Yeah. So Green Diamond is at the table because they'll need Green Diamond on board to sell property to be able to construct this project.
The process, and again, not having to suffer through those meetings, I would think, okay, the most expensive, throw it out. Most environmentally damaging, throw that out.
Mm-hmm.
Start winnowing this thing down so you got two or three.
That's what we're doing. That's what these meetings are for. And so at our last meeting, we started winnowing down and digging into the projects. And some of them you just need more information. You know, tunneling, there's no geology reports for that. So we don't know if it's on a fault line or, you know, what the costs are altogether. You know, where does it pop out? Does it pop out into old growth redwood?
Yeah,
trees,
yeah,
or you know,
right,
so
right in the middle of a 100-foot wide tree.
Mm-hmm. But what's gonna happen ultimately is we need to have probably an act of Congress to shorten this time frame. That's the most important thing.
Literally
an act of Congress to shorten this environmental time frame.
Well, next month when you come in, let's do a full show on it. That'd be kind of cool.
Okay, yeah.
Thanks for coming by.
Thanks for having me.
Hey, got the smile back. Join us tomorrow morning for more Talk Shop. Till then, go out, make it a good day. Hug someone you love. See you then.